Matthew chapter 14. Book of Matthew chapter 14. We'll conclude today with this particular miracle, and it's the last miracle we'll look at as far as miracles over nature. We'll then begin to get into the healing miracles of Christ. Begin reading with verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side. Again, this was immediately following the miraculous feeding of over 5,000. And while they were going over to the other side, he would send the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 a.m., the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. We saw last week Jesus walking on the water, which, of course, was a miracle, and shows the dominion, the absolute dominion of Christ over the storm, over the sea, the very waters that were troubling the apostles, Jesus Christ walked upon, had absolute dominion over, and that in absolute control. And that is still true today. Whatever our storm is, we need to see Jesus Christ walking on the storm, that is, in complete control of the storm. We see that Jesus spoke to them in verse 27, and we looked at that last week. Following that, we see that Peter recognized that it was the voice of the Lord, but he wasn't 100% sure. So in verse 28, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And then Jesus said, Come. Come. That is one of the most gracious words that the Lord can ever speak, is come. For the Lord to say to you and I, come, that's grace. That's mercy. We do not deserve to come into the presence of Jesus Christ. First Peter tells us that's how we're to live our lives. We're to be constantly coming unto Christ. That is, constantly drawing near. And the fact that we can constantly come and the fact that we can abide shows that we can get closer all the time. We can keep coming. That is, we can keep getting closer and closer to the Lord. So this was an invitation to come. It was an invitation to draw near to Jesus Christ. Again, keep in mind what's going on. The wind is blowing. The waves are rising. The waves are crashing into their boat. Their life is in jeopardy. And in the midst of it all, Jesus Christ has complete dominion. He has complete control. And he says, come. And that's still so today. We need to see him in complete dominion. We need to see him in complete control. We need to hear him say, come. Then, of course, we need to respond. But that word come, this is the solution. This is the remedy to their fear. This is the solution. This is the remedy to their anxiety at this very moment. This is the solution. And it's always the solution. We have a destructive tendency to look for solutions where there is none. We already know the solution. Why would you look for another? That is our tendency, and it is a destructive tendency. When Jesus says, come, we need to come without hesitation. And I believe that the Lord is always speaking those words to you and I, his children, come. So when the storms are a reality, we need to realize first that Jesus is the master of the storm. We need to see him. We need to see him walking on our storm. And that's what was happening. Jesus was walking on the storm of the apostles. So there's this invitation. Now there is a possibility that exists in every storm. That is a possibility for you and I. There is an opportunity that exists in every storm for you and I. However out of control the storm may appear, however destructive the storm may appear, and again, it's really all appearance. And as we've already said, you and I really never see things as they are. We see things as we are. And that's why faith is so very, very important. But Peter responded to that invitation. And in doing so, Peter walked on the water. That is, he did the very same thing that Jesus did. And that opportunity exists in every storm. We can be Christ-like. We can do what Jesus does in every single storm. But you have to listen and you have to obey what the Lord says. And then you can do what Peter did. So Jesus comes in verse 27, and he comes with this message. The message is, be of good cheer. Now we see Jesus speaks those words several times throughout the Word of God, throughout the Gospels. And he's not saying be happy. That's not what he says. That's not what he's saying when he speaks these words. He's saying, be of good courage. So Jesus comes to the apostles. They are in danger of this storm. And he immediately addresses a need. The need was they needed courage. And he said, be of good courage. Jesus always comes with a message. A lot of people would like for Jesus to come. They just like for him to keep his mouth shut. They would like him to come with no message. But Jesus always comes with a message. And it is always a message directed to you and I. And it is a message that we need to hear. And it is a message, if we respond to correctly, we will be blessed. So the message was, be of good courage. So it was a message to have courage. He also said, be not afraid, which is a message to be confident. We need to be courageous. We need to have confidence. Now, the middle phrase between be of good cheer and be not afraid is the reason. Is the reason why we can have courage. And is the reason why we can have confidence. It is I. Be courageous. It is I. Be confident. It is I. So Jesus comes with this message of courage, this message of confidence, and really a message of power. It is I. And that again, we saw last week that when the Lord says it throughout the Old Testament, fear not, you'll almost always, after that statement or just prior to that statement, you have God. He's the reason we're not to fear. He's the reason. No matter what the storm is, you can say, well, but this storm's really big. It is I. It is I. You're talking about one bigger than any storm. And for this reason, you can be courageous. For this reason, you can be confident. So he comes with the message, be not afraid. Peter responds, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come unto thee. And Jesus, as we've already seen, says to Peter, come. Then notice in verse 29 again, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, now I don't believe that there was any time that passed. It was almost immediately. When Jesus said, come, Peter came. Without hesitation, without question. There's no need to question. When Jesus says, come, there's no reason for you and I to ask a single question. Not one. Any question simply manifest that we have the spirit of doubt. So Peter steps out of the boat. What courage, what faith, what confidence. Again, remember the message. Be courageous, be confident, it is I. And when Peter stepped out of that boat, again, the winds are blowing. The wind hasn't ceased yet. The storm is still raging. That took a tremendous amount of courage to take that one step. That first step is always the most important. The reason many people do not get where they need to be is because they never take that first step. It's like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. I don't believe that the Lord rolled back the Red Sea and then they walked across. I believe they took the first step, second step, and it just continued to open. That first step takes courage. And Peter, you can criticize Peter, and Peter is really unfairly criticized many times. But Peter was the only one of those apostles who said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me to come. He was the only one. He was the only one willing to stand up in that boat and step out of the boat into the stormy sea and begin to move toward Jesus Christ. So now Peter is, we see he came out of the ship, and notice what it says, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The only way he could get to Jesus was to walk on that water. The only way that he could respond to the call was to take that first step of courage. And Jesus says, come, but many of God's people, they never take that first step. You've got to take the first step. Then the second is much easier. But it's that first one. It's that first step that we question. So now Peter is walking on the water. This is a miracle. This is a miraculous walk. Where did it begin? How do we have this walk? Well, began with a recognition of Christ. It began with a desire to be near Christ. If it be thou, bid me to come. He had a desire to be near. This is how we get to the place where we can walk on our storm. Let's be honest. Many times, you don't want to walk on the storm. You just want the storm to be gone. And you don't want to be near Christ. You just want the storm to go away. But Peter had a desire to be near to Christ. And if you're going to walk on the storm, there has to be a desire to be near to Christ. Now that desire is so powerful that Peter obeyed Christ without hesitation. Without any hesitation, without any question, Peter obeyed. Why didn't he ask any questions? Why didn't he hesitate? Because he had this powerful desire to be near to Christ. So this is where this miraculous walk begins. Begins with a desire. It begins with unhesitating obedience to the invitation of Christ. It requires a great amount of faith. And it requires a willingness to leave where you are. Now think about that. Most people are not willing to leave where they are unless they believe with all their heart that where they're going is going to be better. They don't want to leave where they are unless I know for certain that where I'm going is better than where I am. Peter was walking right out into the storm. It wasn't any better out there than it was in the boat. But Peter was willing to leave where he was. And even miserable people, most of them are not willing to leave their misery. I mean, it's a strange thing, but most people are not willing to leave their misery. And the reason is because they're not totally convinced that it might not be more miserable over here. This is why it takes courage. It takes confidence. It takes the realization, it is I. It is I. So Peter is walking on the sea. He's walking toward Christ. And we need to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we're always moving toward Christ. Because I'll tell you right now, you will not walk on your storm. You will not conquer your storm by walking away from Christ. Only by walking toward Jesus Christ. And Peter is doing this then. Now, how did he continue this walk? We don't know how long he continued. Most commentators believe that as soon as he stepped in, he sank. I don't believe that. That's not what it says. It says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I don't know how far out Jesus was. And I don't know how many steps Peter took. He may have walked a good way. He may have walked a half a mile. You don't know. We have no idea. But the point is, he did continue walking for an amount of time. And how did he do that? He did that by concentrating and focusing upon Jesus Christ. And with Jesus Christ as his focus, rather than the winds, rather than the waves, he was able to walk on his storm. And that is a possibility, and that is an opportunity that you and I have in every storm. In every storm, we can have a water walking time. Every storm. But then notice Peter's failure. So there he is. He's walking on the wind, or walking on the wind-stirred waters. Suddenly, for whatever reason, and we all know this by experience, can't always explain it, but suddenly his focus shifted from Christ to the storm. There he is. He's conquering his storm. He's walking on the waters. He's in control of the storm. He's conquering his storm. Suddenly there is a shift in focus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and now physical sight began to dominate. And now he began to concentrate on the wind. He began to concentrate on the angry sea. Faith gave way. The result was he began to sink. The result was fear and panic. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Just a shift of focus. That's all it took. That's all it took. And that's all it takes today, is a shift of focus. And beginning to sink, he didn't waste any time. As soon as he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord. But what we have here is, you and I can walk on the storm, but walking on the storm, water walking times can quickly become sinking times in just a matter of seconds. In just a matter of seconds, we can go from conquering the storm to being conquered by the storm. Now, where was Jesus the whole time? When Peter was walking on the water, Jesus was right there. When Peter was sinking, Jesus was still in the same place. He hasn't moved. And that's still true today. He hasn't moved. Verse 31, after Peter cried out, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and then began to rebuke him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know what happened to Peter when he was walking on that water? He lost his focus. Same thing that happens to you and I. His humanity got in the way of his faith. And when people say, "Well, you're just human," I'm sorry, that doesn't make me feel any better. Humanity got in his way. Humanity got in the way of his faith, and he began to sink. What did he do when he began to sink? Because we have the remedy here. He didn't have to continue to sink. We all have times when we begin to sink. Now, if you sink all the way to the bottom, it's because you didn't do it right. You don't have to sink. As soon as he began to sink, he cried out to the Lord. What did he do? He refocused. He lost his focus and he began to sink. When he began to sink, he refocused again. He refocused upon Christ and he cried out to him. And the Lord immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. It wasn't Peter's swimming ability that got him out of this mess. It was his cry to the Lord. And you can say all you want to, "Oh, you don't know how hard I'm trying." Quit trying and cry out to God. Because Peter could have tried and tried and tried, and guess what? He would have drowned. And so will you. Just quit trying and cry out to God. "Lord, save me." He refocused upon Christ. And then notice in verse 32, and when they, Peter and Jesus, were coming to the ship. I love that. Peter and Jesus, I believe, now are walking side by side for however, whatever the distance was, we don't know. But I believe it was more than just a couple of steps. Now they're walking side by side on the storm-tossed waters. Again, a miracle. Again, the result of Peter crying out to God and Jesus reaching forth and taking hold of Peter. Now they're walking on the water and they came into the ship and the wind ceased. The storm's now over. The storm's now over. But the point is, Peter was able to walk on water. Peter was able to overcome the storm while the storm was raging. And when the wind ceased, again, the apostles had witnessed all of this, and we read in verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. They weren't patting Peter on the back. Oh, great job, Peter. Great job. You did it. They came and they worshiped Christ. No congratulations to Peter. He didn't do anything. It was the Lord. They came and worshiped him, and then they recognized more fully who he was. In every storm, if we react properly, we will have a greater recognition of who he is. And the greater our recognition of who he is, the more we will worship him. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And then we read, and when they, the apostles and Jesus, were gone over, they went clear sailing. Keep in mind, this took place in the midst of the sea. The next 3.5 miles was clear sailing, smooth sailing. We have several miracles that took place in these verses. But these verses are a tremendous lesson concerning the storms of life. You can sit still in the boat and you can go down with the boat. Somebody's got to have the courage to trust Christ and to stand up and to take that step and move toward Christ. And when you do that, you're on your way to conquering your storm. And as long as you stay focused upon Christ, and not the storm, but as long as you stay focused upon Christ, you can continue to walk on that storm. But if for some reason you lose your focus and you shift back to the storm and you begin to sink, cry out to him. He's right there. He hasn't moved. And then again, you can walk on the storm. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, again for the many